This is a spiritual reading being given for Penny Panagiotaris in Victoria, Australia, on Tuesday the 13th of January 2026 by John Rawson. We perceive the individual now. We perceive the colours that around her. The colours are strong, vibrating with a slight upward direction, spiral direction, indicating that the individual is setting her feet on the spiritual path and that this life will be about increasing awareness of self and of soul and of soul's purpose. The vibration, or the aura, I suppose I should say, is a bit fine at the edges, indicating perhaps emotional damage or emotional trauma, a lot of intense emotional experiences probably over the past year, and enormous changes within the life, particularly difficult period, I would think, in the mid 20 to 24, where the new is trying to come in, but sometimes the new coming in means the breakup with the old, the shattering of what's been created in the past, in order that in time to come the new may be rebuilt. The aura colours, as we see them at present, are as follows. First, light red, second light yellow with just a touch of brown, on the outside of the aura, really like a third colour, blues. Blues from the shoulders. Yellow inside the head. Orange vortex. Reds around the hands. And browns around the feet and the calves. Deeper reds around the gonads, the adrenals, the heart, and the will, indicating that these areas will be worked on and opened over the next 7 years or so. The symbol of the over-self, which hovers about 4 inches above the head, is the individual walking through a very big city, a bit like New York perhaps, with high buildings and skyscrapers on either side, and you're walking down a large road that goes through the city. And the symbol of the over-self tells us something of what's going on in the life at present, and we'll discuss it when we arrive at the appropriate point.
Do you have it? Influencing.
The influencing colours, or the cosmic colours, a golden yellow above the head. That's a very rare colour. And greens below the feet. Well, we shall commence with an understanding of the aura colours, Penny. The aura colours, or the soul colours, are emanations, if you like, energies that the soul emanates. Each colour represents forces that the soul has encountered in different incarnations, and so consequently when we examine the colour closely, we will also discover some of the incarnations which created it. And light red is the colour of life. If you're fortunate enough to have light red as the first colour, you should be warm, sociable, trusting, not naive exactly, but there's an innocence there that you want to trust other people, and so you don't always look deeply ahead into situations, and that's despite the fact that you've got all the yellow, which indicates a very good mind and thinking ability. The light red lends itself to occupations where you are working with others and making personal connections. So I think it's great that you are stepping into teaching, and this will of course have challenges in the future. Teaching is a very challenging profession, especially when you first go into it. And allow yourself time. There will be challenges. There will be obstructions. There will be hassles within your work there over the first 2 years or so. But if you persist and work through that, then the reward will come. And you have the potential to be a great teacher. The combination of the light red, which is the ability to connect with students and with fellow workers, with staff, and also the yellows, indicating an analytical ability. An ability to be detached. And it's interesting because on a personal level, I'm not sure that you can ever be detached. You'll find it really difficult in terms of personal relationships to obtain objectivity. That light red makes you really warm. And it's a difficult lesson, if you like, when you've got that colour, to learn to step back sometimes from emotional commitment and emotional involvement, and it definitely going to have relationships in the next few years, and I don't think quite that the person who you might consider your life partner is coming along anytime soon. There should be a relationship, or at least a good friendship with someone, perhaps a colleague or co-worker, in the next year, this year and next year. And then there's a very significant relationship, karmically speaking, that arises between the age of 31 and the age of 34. And that is a time when you might well think that you've found someone on the same spiritual path or the same spiritual wavelength. Then again, there between the age of 36 and 39, a lot going on in relationships in this time. Now, the thing about relationships from a spiritual point of view is that there are two reasons we enter into relationships. The first is karmic, that is, we enter into relationships with other people, both sexual and friendship, family, any relationship, to balance karma, to repay debts incurred from previous lives. And that's not always a pleasant experience. Often a karmic relationship may present itself as an enormous physical attraction or an enormous personal attraction where you experience the romantic falling in love emotional experience. And that's not necessarily a spiritual experience, if you can grab the difference. But it is important that you experience these relationships, because each time you enter into a relationship, it's a rebalancing of debts, not just what you owe that person, but what they owe you. Now, want to imagine for a moment that you are your soul, that you're standing there as a soul before the Lord of Karma, before you come into incarnation. And the Lord of Karma is, of course, the one that decides what karma should be repaid in any particular life. But at a particular point in our evolution, we get to consult, so to speak, with the Lord of Karma. We get to argue, even disagree. And because we are individualities in our own right, the Lord of Karma will actually let us get away with quite a lot. So I want you to imagine that you're standing before the Lord of Karma, and the Lord of Karma says, "Well, Penny, what karma, what debts do you want to repay?" And you say, "Well, I think I'd like to repay a debt to that soul, because when I was in Rome, I was their mistress, I owned them as a slave, and I treated them really badly. And I think I'd like to get that one out of the way, if you don't mind." So Lord of Karma says, "Okay, well, you're going to incarnate, you're going to meet this person, and you're going to be enslaved by your own emotional reactions, your mo own emotional energies, and this person is going to not end up not treating you very well, and there'll be a lot of joy, but a lot of sadness and upset in that relationship." Now, let's just say that you entered a relationship like that in your 20s, then the end of that should have come round about the age of 29, because when you come to the age of 29, something very special happens on a spiritual level. But we're going back to the Lord of Karma for a moment. And if you can imagine the Lord of Karma is holding this big sheet of paper, and he's writing down what you want to do, and he's saying, yeah, and don't forget to add this, and we'll do this, and oh yeah, we'll give you the gift so that you can be a great teacher and perhaps a wonderful administrator, and you can help lots of people through helping them think more clearly. So you come into incarnation with this, we'll call it a sacred contract, and you really enter into that at about the age of 30. Really, in your case, at the age of 29. It's the end of one phase of life and the commencement of another. So if you feel that you are experiencing a closing of a cycle, I would say you're spot on and very intuitive, because this is a cycle that's coming to a close. Now, once this cycle comes to a close, a new one commences, and the new cycle will, or the new phase will last till about the age of 50. And between about the age of 30 and the age of 50, that's about 20 to 21 years, that's when you fulfill all the commitments on your sacred contract. And you tick them off one by one. And certainly one of the commitments you made was to become a teacher. And we know that this is what the soul wants, because you're entering into it at the age of 29, 30. So, to answer your third question, absolutely, teaching is part of your higher path. If by that you mean the path your soul chose for you before you came into incarnation, it is absolutely true. Now let's go back to this lovely light red colour. It can make you very popular, but at the same time, it can also create enmity and jealousy amongst other people, because it's a very emotive colour. Strong likes, probably strong dislikes. Incarnation, about 240 BC, where you're in a male body and you are a carpenter. I can see you building things using wood and stone and creating homes and houses for people. I don't think you're in Athens, because it doesn't look like Athenian architecture to me. It looks like somewhere in rural Greece. And you were also a blacksmith in that incarnation, that you created created weapons apart from anything else. And I think that you were in the state of Sparta, but as I say, not living in the city, but living outside. And you used to make weapons for the armies. And then there came a time when you were called to contribute service to the army, because every Spartan citizen, every Spartan male citizen, had to be available to fight. And you fought actually against the Athenians, your fellow Greeks, and you were actually killed by an arrow. So that incarnation gave a number of things, or from that incarnation you brought a number of things. Firstly, there's the ability to craft, to sculpt, to do things with your hands, not sort of necessarily in an artistic way, but to be very constructive and to be very creative using your hands. Secondly, there's the aspect of making. You could have gone into industry in this incarnation, except perhaps Australia doesn't have a lot of the industry that might have hired you. But more than that, because you had apprentices, in this life, you again will be in a mentor-apprentice relationship. I should say you'll be the mentor with apprentices, and it's not just a job for you. I think that there's an idealistic level in which you feel strongly that children, young adults, need to be educated in scientific thinking, scientific understanding, critical thinking, analytical thinking, deductive thinking, that all these things it's important, because science is not just about experiments, is it? It's about thinking things through and creating hypotheses and testing theories. And so the science teacher has a huge burden on them to not just make fun experiments for kids, but to train the minds in a way that is quite rare in our 20th century. And the third quality you brought from that incarnation was that of courage. You did not hesitate to lay down your livelihood, leave your family in that life, and to go and fight for a cause that you believed in. And so that there's an idealism within you, that you are ready to fight for a cause if you believe in it. And in this incarnation, don't worry, you're not going to enter a physical army. The cause that you'll fight for, that you'll go into battle for, to do with ideals and goals and societal contributions, if you like. Strong sense of idealism there. In that incarnation, you left a wife and two children, two little boys. And in this incarnation, you should have encountered those souls again. In this case, the partner or the wife in that life might be a partner in this incarnation, and the two boys might well incarnate as children in this life. So that in this incarnation, if you have children, it'll be very important to you to have a close, protective, nurturing connection with them, not to have to walk away from them. And as time goes on, I think that you'll become quite a leader in your profession, that I can see in the next 10 years that you'll be tutoring not just students, but adults perhaps other teachers be running workshops, speaking at seminars, doing lots of stuff to do with networking. It's interesting that 24, 25, or perhaps from 23 to 25 to now, it's been a tremendous building in terms of career, profession. So this would be a great time to change and to also reach, to move into a profession where you feel that this is more than job, than a job. It's a profession. And that you feel, profession should be associated with a calling. That's the old term. We're called to a profession. We're not usually called to a job. We just take on a job because it brings an income. But a profession where you are serving other souls, that's a calling. And that should be something that will finalise this year. And then you're going to move round about January, actually. So very soon, you're going to move focus from career to goals and ideals. You'll be associating with networking with people, with a huge amount of discussion, communication, relating to other people, an ongoing learning, and it's a 2 or 3 year period where you redefine your goals. What you end up with in about 2028-29 will be your goals for the next 20 or 30 years. So it's a time of solidifying, clarifying, and setting new things in front of you. Interesting incarnation. I think the 13th or 14th century in China, again, you're in a male body and you are a general. You're in command of an army, or at least a lot of fighters. And in that incarnation, you were a very good strategist, that you could map out a campaign. You could examine a city or a fortification and discover its strengths and its weaknesses and form a plan of battle accordingly. Now, that was perhaps more a head than a heart incarnation. And this is more a heart than a head incarnation, if you understand what I mean. So that you're working more in this life from your heart. You've had a few head incarnations, and we'll look at that shortly. But definitely you definitely in this life, you have the ability to strategize and to form up a plan of attack. And it's a bit of a battle between head and heart, because the head says, oh, I could sort this out for you, Penny. And the heart says, no, I just want to love. I just want to let go. Oh, I just want to trust. And just remember that you have that ability to think, understand, and make strategies. And as the next 20 years go on, I think that more and more you'll use that ability. And that brings us to the second colour, which is the light yellow. yellow with a hint of brown. It's good because if it was just yellow, you'd be an academic. And that's all very well because the world needs academics, but the whole philosophy of academia is summed up in the phrase that you learn more and more about less and less until you know everything about nothing, someone said once. And that's not you. You don't want to specialize, you don't want to become climb up the ranks of the ladders and get more and more degrees. What you want to do is you want to utilize your knowledge. You want to learn things that are practically usable in the world, or skills and understandings that you can communicate to others. You have a very strong idealistic sense. So there is part of you that wants to make the lives of other people better. Now, that's great. It's great to have ideals, but you also have to remember in this life, you have to look after yourself as well. Incarnation in Germany in the 17th century. Again, we find you in a male body in this incarnation, and as I see it, you're in a laboratory with lots of glass vessels and strange looking shapes for distilling things, and it's an alchemical laboratory, and it's really interesting because you are on the cusp between chemistry and alchemy, and you didn't you weren't particularly searching for the Philosopher's Stone. You were engaged in a sort of a form of plant alchemy where you would take plant extracts and make preparations, tinctures for healing. So you were also not exactly a doctor, but you supplied doctors with medicine. You wrote a book called Speculum Spagyrica, which is, I believe, the Latin for the mirror of chemistry, in which you wrote down, I think in German, even though the title was in Latin, the book was in German, you wrote down all sorts of useful recipes and procedures for people. So, by the way, when you've got the yellow-brown, that's often an indication that you'll have to do lots of writing or technical communication within your life. And of course, these days, writing isn't done with a quill pen. It's done with computers, so I can see you doing a lot of computer work, entering data, building databases, writing lots of emails to people. It's going to be important for you to develop computer skills in the years to come. And I might add that it's very funny, actually, because as an alchemist, you were very familiar with the works of Roger Bacon, who was supposed to have a bronze head in his study that gave him answers to any question that he asked. Now, that was probably a myth, but what it transfers to in this stage of evolution, you will have a bronze head that gives you answers to any question that you ask. It's called AI. So I can imagine that you'll be dealing with and having to come to grips with artificial intelligence and how you can make use of it in the next few years. I think that's going to be, that can be a big part of your work. Incarnation in Egypt. And here we see you again in a male body. You are a scribe. You're writing recipes out in the Coptic lettering. And that's quite funny, because even though you were actually a male, you used a pseudonym that was a woman's name, Maria. And so that you would publish the recipes and also diagrams of equipment under the name of Maria. So everyone thought that these did come from a female alchemist, I suppose you'd call them. Craftsperson. Again, in this incarnation, indicates that you have to do a lot of technical communication, and also that you should be good at designing things, perhaps designing experiments now, or designing pieces of equipment to produce certain results. The blues. The blues are interesting because they're quite different to the other colours so far. Blue represents idealism. When you have blue there, it's someone who's got a very strong moral code, and it's someone who has an inner understanding, an inner certainty of the reality of spirit. Blue is, or can be, quite a religious colour. So in your case, it may mean that you were brought up in a strongly religious household with formal religious practices, with church and prayers and services and that sort of thing. But actually, it's broader than a religion. It indicates that beyond the world that you're focused in at present, and rightly so, you should be focused on relationships and family and creating a career and home, building a home life, acquiring money, all these sorts of things, that they are very significant and you do need to focus on them at the moment. And by the way, your income should improve this year. But that's probably going to be a less importance to you than the fact that your year is going to be one where you have the opportunity to communicate. And perhaps even to travel, but it might be short distance travel. You might be going from one place to another. And then the next year, 2027, we would see you as being able to focus more on the home and settle down into what your soul wants you to work with. But let's come back to the blues. Strong sense of spirituality, and it's linked with previous lives where you were connected with spirituality in some way or another. Incarnation in Egypt about 3,000 years before Christ. And here you are a priestess, so in a female body, and I see you sitting on a sort of a stone throne, and you have in your right hand an ankh, and you have a band on your forehead with a snake rearing up on it, which was an indication that you had undergone initiation in the temples and that you were now able to express your clairvoyance in a way that would assist and uplift other souls. So that would say to me that today you would have a very strong sense of intuition, and also a strong sense of compassion, that you feel somehow that it's your task in this life to safeguard and care for other souls. And I don't just mean by that you have to have a large family. No, what I mean by that is that you will find yourself in vocations where more and more it's care for the soul that is preeminent. And certainly teaching is a wonderful place to start with that, because fewer professions are as in touch with as many souls in their formative years as teachers are. Of course, sometimes that means, because these young souls are being formed, they are formative after all, that you see the best and the worst of what's being formed. And it takes sometimes a great deal of wisdom, which you have from that incarnation, because that was a wisdom incarnation. You have a strong ability to look to the future and take a long-term view. And sometimes things that seem to be disastrous, they turn out to be, what can I tell you? They turn out to be beneficial in the very end. Incarnation in the 13th century, I think. Here you're in a female body and you are married to someone who was a merchant in cloth. In a place called Toledo, which I think is in Spain. And you became so bored with that life that you actually left and you dressed yourself in men's clothes and you became a sailor. That would make a good novel. And you managed to live as a man for the next 20 years until you were killed in a battle with pirates. What a colourful past you've had, Penny. And as you were dying, the nuns came and looked after you, and you asked for absolution in the last rites, and then you had to reveal that you were actually a woman. And when that came out, there was a great scandal. But what's interesting about that is that you have a great individuality that neither society nor partners nor institutions or organizations are going to tell you what to do. Oh, you'll take guidance and you'll try to work within the guidelines and with people, but in the end, if it's a choice between the ideal and the standard, you'll probably go for the ideal. Not that you're going to run away in this incarnation, I don't think, but you're certainly capable of at times stepping outside the ordinary and the expected. Deeper blues from the shoulders. And the shoulder colour is to do with your deep spiritual purpose and will come more into being, more into action as you progress through your 30s and into your 40s. When you've got these, the deeper blues like this, you can worry a lot. You can obsess, if you like, over how your life is going. And sometimes you just need to, I guess, take the motto of that old song, "Don't worry, be happy." Just take that quite seriously. The world is not on your shoulders, even though it probably feels as though it is sometimes. Take some time out. Make time to be with yourself. As you grow older, probably meditation, contemplation, or practices like yoga might become part of your life. Had an incarnation in the 19th century in France, in a convent. You were a nun there. And that was an interesting incarnation because there was a tunnel between the convent and the local monastery, and the monks used to slip through the tunnel and have affairs with the nuns. And you had an affair with one of the monks, and that person, and in doing so, you see, you broke your vows because you'd vowed to be celibate. And so that's a person that you would meet in this incarnation. And that would be, if you meet them, that will be a tempestuous, emotional relationship. And you'll think, oh my God, this is it. This is the love of my life. But it will burn out almost as quickly as it started up. And that will mean that your spiritual nature has become harmonized to a greater degree with your physical nature. Yellows inside the head, very good thinking ability, clarity, ability to analyze, understand, comprehend, interpret. And as I've indicated already, writing might be a part of your life, especially in years to come. Incarnation in Tibet. In a female body in this incarnation, and you went into a convent and early in your life as a little girl, and then after you'd learned enough, you left, went out, and you became a traveling yogini, I suppose you'd call them, a practitioner. And you would write things for people for the, you'd go and travel from village to village, and usually you'd live on the outskirts, especially if you could find a convenient cave. And people would come to you and ask you to write letters for them to which would be taken to other villages, or write petitions to the lord of the district, or write requests to the spiritual hierarchy, the religious hierarchy, because you were writing was not a very common ability in Tibet, and so that you were very valued for that. You spent a lot of your time there in meditation, which might mean that you've sort of meditated out a bit in this incarnation. So you don't feel a huge necessity to sit cross-legged and chant mantras or anything like that. Think meditation comes in our time as part of our daily consciousness. It means that we flip a switch, and instead of being completely immersed in the experience, we take time and we watch ourselves being immersed in the experience. So it's, meditation is more an opportunity or an ability to step back and look from the outside. The vortex, the orange, that indicates a new and powerful consciousness, or new and powerful spiritual energy entering into consciousness in the next 7 years. And that will change the way that you see the world. Orange is a combination of yellow and red. So it's got the dynamism of red and the clarity of yellow. And what it really means is that you'll enter a period of thinking and rethinking your life, your purpose, your place in the world, and where you're headed. The influencing colours above the head, a light gold. That's a very rare colour, and the influencing colours are not part of your aura, but they represent energies that the spiritual worlds are sending you, loaning you, if you like, for a while. And gold is the colour of wisdom and deep understanding. It's the ability to look beyond everything, to look beyond the stresses and dysfunctions and the upsets and the longings of our everyday life, and understand that there is, beyond all of that, there's a higher purpose. The greens below the feet indicate change, so probably movement in your home situation, movement in your work situation, particularly over the next 3 or 4 years. The symbol of the over-self shows you walking down a broad street through a very large city. The large city is life. Life is huge. It's immense. It's beyond anything that we can comprehend. And yet there is a street for you, there's a path for you through this life. And I think that this is a wonderful sign that you have found your way. All you have to do is keep walking forward. And as you walk forward, the more further we go down that path, the more we get to know the city, the more we get to understand life. And you're walking in the right direction because you're walking towards the rising sun. And I think, Penny, in time to come, that you will be valued not just for your knowledge, your expertise, your abilities, but I think you'll be valued for a quality that is very rare amongst human beings, and that is wisdom, the ability to look beyond the surface, to look beyond the play of life, Shakespeare would say, all the world is a stage, but to look beyond that and to understand that there are realities which are constant, which don't change, which draw us all towards them to be more noble, higher in spirit, more gracious, more loving. And if you become that light, that would be a great destiny in this incarnation. So shall it be.